Now let's continue on and see from the Word of God how we need to prepare for being kings and priests, rulers and judges, teachers and helpers. Let's come to 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, and let's see the transition from David to Solomon, because this becomes really very important and very instructive for us. And then we're going to read a psalm of Solomon, and it's going to be astounding indeed. So let's pick it up here in 1 Chronicles 28. Let's begin here in verse 3. Now, David originally wanted to build a house for God, but God told him, you can't build it because you have been a bloody man, a man of war, but your son shall build it. And that son turned out to be Solomon, who was probably the youngest of his sons. So there again, you get the situation of the least. And God delights in the least. And God delights in that which is not counted as anything before men. So let's begin right here in verse 3. After he said he had it in his heart to build a house for God, verse 3, but God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my fathers to be king over Israel. Now he's talking to all of those assembled for this special assembly and ceremony to be king over Israel forever. He has chosen Judah to be the ruler and the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father's house, he was pleased to make me king over all Israel. And remember what? David was the last one. He was the eighth son of Jesse, the least. And he wasn't even counted worthy by his father to come when Samuel came looking for a king to replace Saul. And so finally, after going through seven of Jesse's sons, twice, Samuel asked Jesse, you got another son? He said, oh yeah, he's out in the field tending the sheep. Get him. And he was made king. So we have likewise here. Verse 5. Of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon my son to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now notice how he said it. The kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now we will be representatives as sons and daughters of God to rule, to judge, to teach, to be priest, all of this over the kingdom of God, which rules the whole world. Now continuing verse 6. And he said to me, Solomon your son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish his kingdom forever if. Now mark that word, if. Go ahead and circle that, okay? If he continues resolute in keeping my commandments and my ordinances as he is today. Now before we go on, let's add in this one caveat. It is not how you begin, it is how you finish. And nothing can apply to Solomon any more than that. Verse 8, now in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, these are the instructions to Solomon, the official pledge and admonishment from David to Solomon, what he should do, how he should be king, how he should conduct his life. So as we go through this, let's apply it to ourselves. Now in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Now, you couldn't have a better start than Solomon. What a fantastic thing that was. Now notice, personal instruction, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, acknowledge the God of your fathers and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Now think about that in relationship on how we need to grow and develop too. See? And we're going to see, just like it says, by love and truth, the throne is established. And that follows through all the way through the Bible. And we are going to see that only with the love of God to God and the love of your neighbor, all the people we are going to serve, it's like Solomon, all the house of Israel that he was going to serve, all 12 tribes. And that was a fantastic start that he had. So the instruction that was given by David to him is very important for us to realize how we need to conduct our lives today. Notice verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you. Remember in the New Testament how Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have personally chosen you. And God has personally chosen each one of us to rule and reign with Christ and to usher in the kingdom of God on this earth. Fantastic, isn't it? All right. Look at the parallels. Think about this as we are reading it, so that you will gain more out of it than just as a historical document. Verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Just like with us. We need to build the character. We need to build the love. We need to build the obedience. We need to build the worship. We need to build the yieldedness by submitting ourselves to God, by being led by the Spirit of God, so that we can fulfill the being chosen to help rule this world when Christ returns. So we can take all of these things from the physical realm of Solomon and we can apply it to what we need to do. So let's go forward here. And then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch and of its houses and of its treasuries, its upper rooms, the innermost rooms of the place of the mercy seat, the plans of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the rooms all around the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the holy things, and of the courses of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels and the service of the service in the house of the Lord. And then everything, all was given. Think about that. Just like with us, God is going to give us everything that we need to serve him, to rule and reign on earth in his kingdom. So God gave all the plans to David. David gave them to Solomon. Now verse 19. All this, said David, was in writing from the hand of the Lord. See, you're not going to build a house for God according to your own plans. Huh. I wonder what happened when one man did that in Southern California. Let's go on. He made me to understand all the details of these plans. And David said to Solomon his son, now notice the kind of attitude we need to have in going forward, in growing, in overcoming, in preparing, so that we can serve God to the greatest extent possible in the kingdom of God. Verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage. Isn't that exactly what Moses told Joshua before he went into the promised land? Be strong and of good courage, and meditate in the law of God day and night. And what does it say in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who meditates in the law of God day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in season. Okay? So all of these are tools and instruction and encouragement and admonishment for us to grow and overcome. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear. Do not be ashamed. For the Lord your God, even my God, will be with you. Now think about that. God is with us. Not only that, God is in us with the power of his Spirit. And we, with that, are even greater than what Solomon was going to do, because we are a dwelling place of God. So you see how you can take the things from the Old Testament and expand it out into spiritual application of the New Testament. Let's go forward. Nor be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be frustrated. Don't be down even in the face of whatever trial that comes along. Now, going through them may not be a pleasant experience. But when you come out of the tunnel of trial to the other end, to the light, then you look back in the tunnel and you see, yes, that was necessary so that I could learn more to love God and trust him. Okay? Now notice, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Think of that. Now then, hold your place here, and let's come to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And let's see something really tremendous. Hebrews 13, the promise given to us by God. The promise given to us that Christ will always be there. Listen, let's understand something. God has begun a good work in all of us, and he wants to finish it, and he wants it to be in glory, and he wants it to be in power, and he wants it to be in spirit. That's what God wants. That's why we are here. Now come to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let's apply that to us today. Do not allow the love of money to influence your behavior, but be satisfied with what you have. For he has said, now we can say, don't let anything come between you and God, be it money, be it possessions, be it people, be it a problem, be it a trial, be it a blessing, be it a difficulty, whatever it is, don't let anything come between you and Christ. Now notice, for he has said, in no way will I ever leave you. No, I will never forsake you in any way. In any way. Think about that. That's a promise of God. So if you get discouraged and down, you take your Bible and you open up to the places where these scriptures say this and claim that promise and cry out to God and say, oh God, help me. You promised never to leave me, never to forsake me. I need your help. Another little sidebar here, interesting. Just do a little word search on help, helper, etc. in the Psalms. You will be utterly amazed. Now let's finish this. Verse 6. So then we may boldly say, be of strong and good courage. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. what can man do to me? Well, the truth is, the most he can do is take your physical life. But that guarantees the resurrection. So he hasn't done a thing. Now think on that. All right. Now let's come back here to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Now this is going to be very instructive for us. Psalm 72. Because, now here we are, Psalm 72. Now look at whose psalm this is. Solomon, a psalm of Solomon. Probably one of his first prayers after God blessed him and told him that since he didn't ask for wealth or power, but wisdom so he could judge the people of God, that he would give him wisdom more than any man on earth. He would give him wealth more than any man on earth. And at that time, after God appeared to him the second time, God was pleased with what Solomon had done and said. Now notice this psalm. Notice his attitude, the psalm of Solomon. And let's look at this as everything that we need to yield to God to also to become kings, priests, and rulers, and helpers, and teachers. Verse 1. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. Now the king's son, referring to David, the father, and Solomon, the new king. That he may judge your people in righteousness and your poor with justice. Isn't that what he prayed for? And God appeared to him and was pleased with it? Yes, indeed. The mountains shall bring forth peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. That is the judgment coming from God. See, because all judgment is from God. So likewise, when we're ruling in the kingdom of God, all judgment is going to come from God's way and God's truth. He shall save the children of the needy and shall crush in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. And for us, into the ages of eternity. Amazing, isn't it? The word of God is absolutely amazing. Let's go on. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and the abundance of peace shall be upon the moon, abundance of peace until the moon be no more. Well, that's forever. So you see, this is not only Solomon's psalm, but it's also something in the Bible to show us what it's going to be for all eternity. And let's all of us yield to God and determine in our own hearts and minds and soul and being, to the very marrow of our bones and the very depth of our spirit and mind with Christ and the Father in us through their Spirit, that we will not apostatize like Solomon did. And remember what David said, that if you serve him, he will be with you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So we don't know the ultimate situation's going to be with Solomon because the Bible doesn't tell us. Now let's continue on here. He shall also have the rule from sea to sea. Now this is talking about Solomon as well as Christ. You see many elements in here, you see. And from the river unto the end of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness shall bow down before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall prostrate themselves before him. All nations shall serve him. So it blends into Christ and the kingdom of God, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. And as a matter of fact, during that time that Solomon was righteous, that he did the will of God, that he built the temple, that he built everything that there was to build, finished it off, God came and put his presence in the temple, and God gave him rest from all of his enemies round about. And that particular period of time was the closest that it has ever been as to what the kingdom of God would look like on earth. It was a foretype of it. Let's go on. Verse 12, he shall deliver the needy when he cries, and the poor with the one who has no helper. He shall have compassion upon the weak and needy, and shall save the lives of the needy. He shall redeem their life from oppression and violence, and their blood shall be precious in his sight. That's what we're going to do. We are going to gather together all the pitiful people that go through all the wars and tribulation that survived through it, and they're going to be gone. And they are going to look like walking skeletons. And we are going to go to them and say, God reigns in Jerusalem. We are here to serve you, to help you recover. And the first thing we will do is we will heal them. And we will have things provided for them so that they can finish the rest of their lives as normal as can be in the kingdom of God. Now that is going to be a wonderful and tremendous thing to do. Verse 15 now, he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba, and they may pray continually for him. Also daily he shall be praised. Now that's toward God. May there be an abundance of grain in the earth upon the top of the mountains. May its fruit wave like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. That's God's name. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. That can only be in the millennium. Just think, when all the world is like this, and we have been called and chosen to do this. Let's finish off this psalm. Okay? Verse 18. Blessed is the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. And all the earth is filled with his glory. Amen. And amen. The one little verse follows. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Isn't that amazing? Now let's see how we can go forward. Let's see the things that we need to do, that we need to change, that we need to overcome. Remember the proverb that we read. By love and truth, the throne is established. So let's come to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, which is called the love chapter. Now, if you still have an old King James, let me explain something to you that you need to understand concerning the translation where it is translated into King James, where the Greek word agapo or agape. Agapo is the verb, agape is the noun. Where agape is translated, not love, but charity. Now, why was that translated charity? Because that was the Latin word for love. And there were committees on the King James committees of translating the Bible, which they really didn't translate. They just brought in all of the translations that they already had, beginning with Tyndale's and also Coverdale and also Bishop Cranmer and also the Geneva Bible, and they compared the English text and then they looked at the Greek. Well, there were those who were still Latinist, secret papists, makes you wonder, who left their mark in the translation of the King James with the word charity in this place. They left other marks in other places. And it should be love, because charity is something entirely different today. Now notice it talks about our attitude. It talks about how we need to control ourselves as being led by the Holy Spirit. And it talks about the things that we need to do to love each other as brethren and to love our neighbors as ourselves, and also how we need to conduct ourselves as spirit beings when we're in the kingdom of God. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now, Paul really understood these things, and God put him through an awful, awful lot to humble him, to prove him, to test him. And, you know, you read about what Paul went through, and all of those who want to be apostles, you better you better stop and think what Paul went through and ask yourself the question, do I really, really want this? All right. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now let's understand something. Love, from love comes law. Law does not equal love, but law is a manifestation of love. I hope you understand that. Law comes from love. Love does not come from law. Rather, law is a manifestation of love. Have you ever had law enforced upon you without love, without mercy, without understanding? Yes, it was true. Yes, the law stated. But you see, the truth is only love can give life. Law cannot. That's why we need the love of God. Not self, not exaltation, not how good we are, or how wonderful or how great we are, but true humility through the love and spirit of God. Notice verse 2. If, now that's that little word again, you might want to circle it as we go along. If I have the gift of prophecies and prophecy. Oh boy, can you not get a lot of people to follow you if you can prophesy certain things? Oh, yes indeed. Now notice, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Now this is to show you how important love is. And remember, the throne is established by love and truth. This is what we need to learn today, and this is how we are going to operate in the kingdom of God. Now notice what else. And if I give away all my goods, and if I deliver up my body that I may be burned, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. Now notice what love is. God is love. And he loved us first. And we are to love him back. And we are to love the brethren and our neighbor as ourselves. Notice what we need to develop. So wherever love is, put your name. Measure yourself. Love is patient and is kind. Love envies not, does not brag about itself, is not puffed up, not filled with vanity. And of course, all human behavior without God is vanity. That's the whole lesson of the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Verse 5, love does not behave itself disgracefully, does not seek its own things, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, that is, thinks of evil to bring against people. Now, there's still evil in our minds that has to be scrubbed out with the washing of the water of the Word. We can repent of that, but that is thinking to carry out evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Hello? By love and truth, the throne is established. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 7, love bears all things. There are going to be a lot we're going to have to bear. Love believes all things, that is, all things that are good and right and true. Hopes all things, everything that God is said to hope for. Endures all things, regardless of what comes along. We never give up. Love never casts aside. Love never fails. Now think about that. If you follow these things, and if you do these things, guess what? You will never fail. You will be guaranteed an entrance into the kingdom of God. But whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Whether there be languages, they shall cease. We're all going to have a new language at the resurrection. Wonder what that's going to be like. Otherwise, the resurrection would be just like the Tower of Babel. We're all speaking different languages through the span of over 6,000 years. And who can understand anyone else? No, just like God created Adam and Eve with the language built in, when we are resurrected from the dead, voila, there is going to be the new language in our minds. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, because of the superior knowledge of the spirit realm. Now notice, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. That's true. We don't know all things. Every time we get to thinking, well, this prophecy is going to happen or that's going to occur, uh-oh, change of direction goes a different way. See? Know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, and that's at the resurrection, then that which shall be in part shall be set aside. Just like Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, I set aside the things of a child. Likewise, when we become adult, men and women, we set those things aside. We build on it, because the first of learning the ABCs, as it were, is still what we use in the language that we speak today, correct? Yes. But we don't go back and practice it over and over again. We've already learned it and we move on. Now, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, maybe a little more clearly than many years ago, but it's still not crystal clear. But then, that is at the resurrection, we shall see face to face. An astounding thing to look forward to, isn't it? Now I know in part, but then I shall be known exactly as I have been known. Now Paul writes this, and let's keep this in mind, for how we can become qualified to serve as kings, as priests, as leaders, as rulers, and as teachers. Verse 13, And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that is how the throne is established: by love and by truth. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.